Good morning to those of us who are gathered here. Good morning and welcome to those who may be joining us on a live stream from home, and welcome to our harvest celebration. One of the things that I think we've lost since I was a child is the idea of seasonal foods. Back then, of course, strawberries came in during the summer. Autumn fruits came in during the autumn. And throughout, we ended up eating what was seasonal. Nowadays, of course, we just assume that we can go into a supermarket and buy anything at any time of the year. But it is good to remember that we can only buy anything because it has grown somewhere in the world. There has been a harvest. There has been a seed time, a time of growing, a time of reaping. And so we gather together today to thank God for the generosity with which our world provides the food that is needed. So welcome to our harvest thanksgiving. Of course, you realize that we are in the middle of a series of questions Jesus asked, but today we take a break from that series to celebrate harvest. We're back to the theme next week with the question that Jesus asked, why worry? But following next week, a week on Saturday to be exact, there will be a big quiz night at St. Andrew's, 7 p.m. Saturday the 7th of October. And if you want to know more about it, well, listen to this.
The high price of bullion and principles of political economy and taxation are works by which stock trader, often described as the second greatest classical economist after Adam Smith?
I have no idea, but thankfully Tristan isn't setting the questions for our big tier fund quiz night, which is happening on Saturday, 7th of October at St. Andrew's at 7 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Come along as a team or by yourself and support a great charity, Tier Fund. We're just going to show you a little video to explain a bit more about what Tier Fund do.
And the answer is, of course, David Ricardo.
Poverty is not God's plan. God wants people to live life abundantly. Poverty strips people of this opportunity, but God has a restoration plan, and the church is at the heart of it. Jesus calls us to join with him in restoring justice by defending and equipping the marginalized and oppressed. Together as the church, we are called to pray and to help bring an end to extreme poverty. And we can. At Tier Fund, we believe that poverty is a consequence of four broken relationships: God and us and each other, us and ourselves, and us and creation. As those relationships are healed, people are lifted out of spiritual and material poverty. Working through the local church, using Bible-based training, we equip people to lift themselves out of poverty and realize their God-given potential. When unjust policies impact vulnerable communities, we campaign for change. When disaster strikes, we're there. We work through a global network of partners so that hope, justice and dignity are restored. And we've seen extraordinary success. In more than 50 years, thanks to our generous supporters, we've equipped more than 25,000 churches to become centers of transformation. Since 2006, 47 million lives have been transformed through our community projects. Working with our partners, we've seen people on the brink of disaster become more resilient, self-sufficient and empowered, able to boldly speak up for their rights. God wants us as churches and individuals to play our part in building his kingdom on earth. By praying, taking action and giving, You can join the global church to create a world free from extreme poverty.
So you can do your part by joining the big quiz night Saturday the 7th of October, 7 p.m. down at our other church, St Andrew's. But even sooner than that, tonight, it's deeper here at All Saints, 5:45 for a cup of coffee and a biscuit, 6 o'clock for a start. Do come and join us for a time of deeper worship at 6 o'clock tonight. And so, our harvest generosity. Let's pray. From different lives we come to worship. From good weeks and bad weeks we come to worship, bringing great times and painful memories. We come to worship, needing healing, needing peace. We come to worship with hope in our hearts. We come to worship. To Almighty God, we come to worship, and together we come to worship. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Yes, we can be thankful. So let's stand if we are able and sing together. Come, ye thankful people. And yes, we do believe that God provides a harvest of food, and we seek also a harvest of souls, a building of God's kingdom. We believe in lots of other things too, so as we remain standing, let's affirm those things that we believe as we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As you can see, some of us brought harvest gifts yesterday to be laid out in preparation for this morning. It may be that some of you have brought your harvest gifts this morning, in which case I would invite you to bring them up to the front of the church now, and otherwise please be seated as we prepare for a confession. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Lord God, our Maker and Redeemer, this is your world, and we are your people. Come among us and save us. We have misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have condoned evil and dishonesty and failed to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have heard the good news of Christ, but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have not loved you with all our heart, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we have a Bible reading, and Paul is going to read to us.
Yes, our scripture reading is taken from the second letter to Corinthians, and it's chapter 9, and it's verse 16. And I think we're going to have it. Yes, we've got it up there. And some like to follow in a Bible. Page 1163, there are Bibles in the seats if any of you like to follow. 1163. Very, very brief introduction. Paul the Apostle is coming to visit Corinth again. He'd worked among them for 1.5 years as a tent maker and preaching the word of God. It's all in Acts 18. And now he's sending Titus and another brother who is unnamed to visit the church in Corinth, the people, and to give them a shove because they have become a bit lax in that wonderful word, generosity. And Paul himself will come and will take their gifts to the poor in Jerusalem. And I think when we can understand as we read this how difficult it is to let go and to be generous to those in need. I know I speak for myself. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. There's a wonderful sentence at the end which we're going to say together. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, nor under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts, his gifts to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Another translation is, thanks be to God for his gift beyond words. And I thought we'd just say that last scripture together, which gets everything really in its context. The gift of Jesus, the gift of his cross, his resurrection, his being among us in the Spirit, even at this moment. So could we just say that last verse 15, could we say that verse together? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
at this point, my notes say very clearly, Dave Bruce sermon. You may have noticed that Dave is not amongst us. Sadly, he tested positive for COVID, and he has therefore not wanted to share that particular thing with us this morning, so he has recorded a sermon. So, here is Dave's sermon. He's not even wearing a dog collar to give his sermon. I think it's appalling, but there we go. Here is Dave and a sermon for today. And we do pray that Dave is feeling much better this morning and recovering quickly and permanently from this latest COVID. Here's Dave.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really sorry I'm not able to be with you in person this morning, but I've gone down with COVID again. And so we're having to resort back to the recorded message, which was a bit of an ordeal to get set up again this morning. So we're here once again at another Harvest Festival. And I wonder just how many Harvest Festivals we've been to between us. Hundreds, I should imagine. And I don't know about you, but when I think about harvest, I think particularly of two words, particularly when I'm preparing my harvest talks for the school services. And those two words are thankfulness and generosity. And we're going to be thinking about both of them today. See, harvest is first and foremost a time to be thankful, isn't it? That's where the whole idea originated, a time to be thankful that the harvests were safely gathered in. Of course, these days, most of us are not involved in being out on the fields bringing in the harvest. I know Helen Simpson from St Andrews has been over these last few weeks, but not the rest of us. But Harvest Festival is a chance as the summer finishes and autumn begins to stop and be grateful to God for all his provision. We're reminded in verse 10 of today's reading that ultimately it's God who is the source of all that is good. It's God who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, we're told. As the great harvest hymn goes, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Oh, thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord for all his love. And so today we stop to take time to thank God for his provision. For food, for shelter, for friends, for family, for health. I wonder what you're particularly grateful for today. Let's just stop for a moment and pause and thank God personally for just some of the things that he's provided us with. But harvest too is a time to think of those less fortunate than ourselves as well, isn't it? It's an opportunity to step beyond thankfulness. It's an opportunity to reflect on how blessed we are. And then from that blessing, to offer back to God some of what he's given us so that it may be a blessing to others. The last fortnight, we've seen some desperate need on our TV, haven't we? The earthquake in Morocco. I was just particularly reading a week ago or so of a teacher who was away for the weekend and came back to where she lived to find her whole class of 32 pupils was wiped out in the earthquake. Just unimaginable. And then, of course, there have been the catastrophic floods in Libya, wiping out family after family and village after village. You know, it's heartbreaking to see and hear these individual stories. And then, of course, we have needs closer to home, don't we? So many people, and particularly families, struggling in these challenging economic times. How does God call us to respond? Well, in today's passage, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about a crisis of their time. The Corinthian church had started a collection for Christians in Jerusalem who were having a tough time with a devastating famine that was sweeping through the area. And Paul had been going around the different churches collecting money, just providing aid for the Jerusalem church in particular. But for some particular reason, after the initial enthusiasm, the collection from Corinth had stopped. And Paul was writing to encourage them to continue it and complete it so that he could take it to Jerusalem. And in Paul's response, I think we find some really important principles about giving. What does he encourage them to do? Well, first of all, how to give. In verse 6, he talks about sowing generously. You know, Paul here encouraged these Christians to be generous, to have an attitude of generosity in their giving. Those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. And those who sow generously will reap generously. It's turned into a well-known saying, hasn't it? But there's so much truth in it. We all know that if we want to grow a large crop of vegetables, that won't happen if we plant just one meagre seed, unless, of course, it's a courgette plant, which seems to grow, just go on and on and on and grow and produce more and more, especially at this time of year. But seriously, the more we sow, the more we are likely to reap. And while Paul here is particularly talking about money to the Corinthian church, this principle applies to any sort of giving. Giving of our time, giving of our skills, giving of our resources. We're called to sow generously. But also we're called to sow cheerfully. In verse 7 it says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. See, giving, he says, isn't about feeling guilty or feeling under compulsion. He's not calling the Corinthians to be reluctant givers or give because they have to, but instead to make their own decision about what they should give and to be cheerful givers. The literal meaning here is hilarious givers. It reminds me of a story of a mother who once gave her little girl a pound coin and a 10p before church. Put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself, she told the girl. And when they were coming out of church, the mother asked her which amount had she given. Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the pound, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the 10p, so I did. Whenever I think of cheerful giving, I always think of my times in Africa, and in particular African churches where they take the collection. And when they take the collection, it's just such a great celebration of dancing and singing and joy. Just it really, I think there's a lot that we could learn from the way they do that. They know how to give cheerfully. So Paul's call to those Christians and to us is to be people who give cheerfully and people who give generously. But in verse 10 and 11, Paul also describes how we are blessed by God to be a blessing to others. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. You know, God blesses us not simply that we can store up blessings for ourselves, but so that we can be generous to others. Blessed to be a blessing is a phrase which we've used a lot as a church here. The call to acknowledge the resources that God has given us and to use them to bless others who perhaps don't have as much as we have. And it's a concept that is throughout the Bible for God's people. Right from Genesis 12, God says to Abraham that through his descendants, all people on earth would be blessed. You know, God gives not simply so that we can keep storing up things for ourselves, but he gives so that we can be generous. The more he gives, the more opportunity there is for us to be generous. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so what about the results of generosity? What does it say here? The results of when we see people who are generous. Well, firstly, needs are met. It's an act of provision. Verse 12, this service that you perform is supplying the needs of the Lord's people. the generosity of the Christians was supplying those in need in Jerusalem. You know, and your generosity here makes makes tangible differences too. You know, the Trussell Trust, I was reading their annual report for last year, 3 million food parcels in 2022 were given through food bank donations, 1 million of them for children. That's huge amounts of people blessed by people's generosity. And I hope today's collection here at All Saints will just continue to contribute to serving the needs of our own food bank here in Malvern. Just think of Christians Against Poverty. You know, another three households, I've heard, have just gone debt-free in Malvern in the last few months because of the ministry of that organisation, because of those who give of their time, of their resources, of their skills to support those who are struggling and in debt. You know, several families are getting a cooked meal at the Thursday Project at the Octagon each Thursday because of your generosity. We heard a few weeks ago, didn't we, of Mikey and Bethany and their work in Liberia with malnourished children. And Mikey's just gone over there again this week to just continue that work. And we continue to pray for them. But again, your generosity is changing lives of those who are most needy across our world. Your generosity is meeting the desperate needs in our community and our world. It's bringing transformation to lives. But not just does our generosity meet a need. Here in verse 12, Paul talks about how it's actually an expression of thanks to God. It's actually an act of worship. Paul says in verse 12, the service, the giving that you've been giving is overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. In Philippians 4:18, Paul talks about gifts given to him as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. You know, our giving is first and foremost an act of worship to our generous and loving God. An act of worship to the God who's done so much for us. You see, our meagre sacrifices in reality are so little compared to a God who gave everything, who sacrificed his one and only son for each of us on the cross. He's given us what we didn't deserve. And so surely our response should be to give back to him out of what he's already given us. Whenever we give our money, our time, our skills, our resources to bless others, it's an act of worship, an act of giving thanks to our God. But it's not just an act of provision. It's not just an act of worship. It's also an act of witness, an act of witness that leads other people to praise God. Look at verse 13. It says, because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. You see, when we demonstrate generosity to others, we demonstrate and live out the gospel. We proclaim to the world around us just a little bit of the generosity and the grace of God. I'm always so encouraged when I hear stories from CAP or the Octagon or the Food Bank or from Mikey and Bethany, of people who are being drawn a little closer to God because of the witness of others through their generosity. Generosity, an act of witness that points people to God. And so this harvest time, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful for all that God has given us. But let us also be people who sow generously, not out of compulsion, but cheerfully. And know that our generosity is an act of provision. It meets people's needs. It's an act of worship. It's a way of giving thanks and worshipping our great God who's given us so much. And let us pray too that it will be an act of witness, pointing others to the God who gave everything for us. Thank you for being such a generous people. Thank you for being such a generous church. And let's go on allowing God to use our generosity to bring his kingdom in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your generosity to us. We thank you that you didn't hold back anything but gave us everything by sacrificing your life on the cross for us. And give us, we pray, that grace of giving, which is talked about in this passage, that gift of giving generously to others, that needs may be met, that you will be worshipped, and that people will be drawn to you. May we be generous this harvest time. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And if we are going to give thanks, let's also give thanks for a God who gave us Dave and his family to lead us in these churches. I think we have been greatly blessed by having Dave as our rector and will continue to be blessed through him. So do thank God for him and for all the others who work for these churches to build God's kingdom here in Malvern. So, as we celebrate the harvest and consider all the works that God has made, let's stand and sing.
Thank you. pray together. During the prayers, there will be pauses for you to just bring to God particular countries, people, needs that you have. So let's pray together. We thank you, dear Lord, that you are a very generous God. At this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things you give us, especially our food and clean water. We remember those who do not have enough for even one proper meal each day. We pray for those who are finding the cost of living crisis impacting so on their lives that they cannot provide food for themselves or their families. We pray for those who are homeless and those who depend on the charity of others. We pray for the Mag Centre, for the food bank and the community pantries, for the shelter and food they provide for those in need. May we share the harvests more fairly, so that people do not go without the basic necessities of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for those parts of your world that are suffering from war and natural disasters. This morning we pray especially for Ukraine, for Morocco and Libya. Bring to the Lord in your heart those other places in the world that are suffering. Lord, we pray that you will bring peace and relief to all those in such desperate need. We pray for the aid agencies and the relief organisations that they will be able to work safely within these terrible conditions, bringing relief. Please, may we be people who give generously to support the work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This morning we pray for those young people who have just gone or have returned to university. Just name before the Lord those known to you. We pray that you will support and encourage them, lead and guide them as they form friendships, find the right church and Christian community. Lord, protect them and help them to settle quickly into their studies and their new lifestyle. We also pray for those young people who are applying for jobs. Lead and guide them into the right employment for them. And other young people known to us, we remember especially this morning, Guy in Japan. We pray for him in his work amongst seafarers. Use him, Lord, to be a blessing to those he meets. And we pray for Sophie in Cambodia. Protect and keep her, Lord, and may she too be a real blessing to the people she's with. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our mission partners, Mikey and Bethany and Little Finley. We thank you for the amazing work that they are doing in the Elwha Pediatric Hospital in Liberia. Lord, continue to uphold and protect them, that the work that you have called them to do may flourish as they minister and work there. Provide for them financially, physically, and emotionally, that their healing work amongst the children will continue to grow. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And at this harvest time, we pray for our families, our friends, our neighbours. Lord, may we support and encourage them, being prepared to share you with them and giving generously of our time. We pray for those known to us who are sick and needing your touch of healing. We pray for those of our fellowship who are unable to get to church. Bless them, dear Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bless you, generous God of seed and harvest, and we bless each other that the beauty of this world and the love that created it might be expressed through our lives. May it be a blessing to others, and give us, we pray, a real generosity of heart, now and always. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll stand and sing. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways.
You want to carry on?
Yes.
All right.
The body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And Jeff will now come and lead us in communion.
Would you please be seated? Just a reminder that we are serving communion in two phases now. In the first phase, those who wish to receive a wafer dipped in the cup and given by me, would you come to the communion rail first? Those who wish to share the common cup, as some do, then we have some gluten-free pita bread, and the cup will be handed to you, the same cup to share with others. So that will be phase two. The table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. Together we say, it is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith and you who would like to have more, you who've been to this sacrament often and you who've not been for a long time, you who've tried to follow Jesus and you who have failed, come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." Loving God, it is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice for our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Together we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come. Come forward, those who wish to receive a wafer dipped in wine first.
As we thank God for the harvest, and we thank God for all the good things that he's given us, we say together, we thank you for this meal and for welcoming us to your table. We remember that we are your children and that you have called us to share your love with everyone we meet. Help us to receive your life, walk in your strength, and follow your ways every moment of our lives. And so we come to our final worship song. We sing to God new songs of worship. Lord, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the blessings you have poured on us. And we offer you these tokens of money and the tokens of foods that have been offered to you to help those who need them. And we ask that all may be used to give you glory and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the first bit of this blessing together. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. And as we go from here, I hope with a spirit of generosity, if there is something particular that you would like, there is prayer at the back on that side. There is fair trade for you to buy at the back on that side. There is coffee at the front on that side. And there are cakes on this side. Spread yourselves around. Have a good week.